Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a getaway Friday, September the 9th, 2022. 12 and a half minutes past the hour, and certainly it has been an interesting 24-hour period. Yesterday morning, as we were going off the air, we learned of the illness of the Queen of England at age 96, that she was not feeling well and was under doctor's supervision. And then as the day progressed, not too long after we were off the air, we learned of her passing. So as we continue on here this morning, we are going to remember the Queen of England, who has made a lot of news in the last 24 hours, passing away yesterday at the age of 96 after a 70-year reign in England. We're going to open up the program this morning with 15 minutes with one of my favorite people who had some encounters with the Queen over the years, but we want to get a broad picture of this 70-year reign and what she meant to people, and particularly what she meant to people in the United States, because last night, if you watch television, ABC Network Television gave 3 hours to the Queen of England last night, blew out all their programming and did 3 hours of coverage on the death of the Queen of England, and the other news stations were not far behind with their evening news coverage. Joining us this morning as we kick things off, one of my favorite people, longtime ABC News correspondent, co-host of Primetime Live with Diane Sawyer for so many years, and of course, the Sunday morning show this week, one of the best, Sam Donaldson. Sam, how are you?
God, I'm fine. It's early, but it always is in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Absolutely. Sam, you know, when the Queen died yesterday, why was this such a big deal to us Americans?
Well, yes, whether you're an American, an Englishman, or really of many other countries, her loss is a personal loss. She had been on the world stage for so long, with her ups and downs, more ups than downs. She was revered because of her spirit, because of what she meant to the English people in England and the Commonwealth. You couldn't help but feel a loss as if it were personal, even though I didn't personally know the Queen, but felt I did, obviously. And yet, on the other hand, Scott, the world is far different from the world that she inherited when her father died in 1952. Then, many European countries still had there are other countries that they, well, I wouldn't say owned still, but yes, indeed, in Vietnam, in Africa, in other places in the world, England has its, and she presided over the loss of that empire. It became a commonwealth that was stayed together for England for a long time, and even that is now disappearing. And I must say, when King Charles takes the throne, as he already has, obviously, he may, if he lives long as his mother, he may preside over the end of the monarchy in England. There's a rising feeling there among the British people, and still not a majority, but still rising, that the institution itself, not Elizabeth II, she was revered everywhere, but the institution itself is an anarchy, which is times to go.
As time would go on, what would be the big flaw in what system they have over there that would lead to the end under Charles, if it were to happen?
Well, of course, the monarchy in England has for some years had no power from the standpoint of running the country. They advise, they receive new prime ministers, the monarch does, they are head of some privy councils and all of this, but the ruling establishment is the prime minister, his or her government, and the parliament, and they make the decisions. I mean, it wasn't Queen Elizabeth II who made what I think is the disastrous decision to leave the European Union with Brexit, which England is now suffering under economically. It was not her doing. It was the government that was in power then. So What they have, though, is a symbol of the past, the glorious past of England, of Britain, when she ruled the world, and the sun never set on the English Empire. It's still there, and some Englishmen still try to get it back. It's not possible to get it back. It's a fool's errand, and they become bitter because of it. But she is a great symbol, has been a great symbol for them, and they felt that it helped hold the country and the empire, which then no longer existed except in the minds of some, together. I can't overstate the importance of this person, a woman, and she inherited that monarchical throne at a time when it was still a very much a man's world. But she proved that, oh, darling, I'm here, I'm the queen, and I'll do the job. And she did.
You know, Sam, I alluded to it in the introduction there, and it really did kind of shock me last night, the coverage of her death. ABC Network last night blew out 3 hours of programming to cover her death, every aspect possible of it, and I'm sure there will be more forthcoming today. The local newscasts led with that story here in Ohio. The network newscasts were almost totally devoted to her death last night. Now, that's here in America. Why is it such news in America? I expected it to be a story, but not that big. I don't think presidents get that.
Not now. And that leads me to a theory. And when I say a theory, it's my theory, which may have nothing but holes in the bucket of water. And it's this. When I was covering the White House, and of course before, when presidents of the United States made a speech of any sort, it was carried live by the networks. They held a news conference. It was carried live by the networks. But in this terrible day of our own division as a country, when President Biden the other day made a speech which the White House billed as a speech about the saving of democracy, his view being that it is threatened within by our own people, no one carried it. No, I mean, the evening. So here was an opportunity for the networks to demonstrate their capacity to bring the news of and the remembrances of someone who was not divisive, certainly not in our country, who was someone that could be admired. And you wouldn't say, well, we have to be fair, we have to be equal time to somebody who doesn't like her. No, you didn't have to do that at all. I would like to get back to that point, not where maybe we do 3 hours on a speech, but clearly a point where our chief executive, and you know, our forefathers considered a monarchy, even though King George was not their favorite person, and they roundly rejected it. And even then they considered, what do we call this guy who's not, or it was going to be a man in those days, who is not the monarch? And they said, well, we could call him Your Highness or Your Greatness. And finally, all reason prevailed, and call him President. And Mr. President, that's good enough for us Americans. So, yes, my theory is simply that one of the reasons, the first reasons, I think, she was a great person in the world and in history, and to be on the right side of the angels and should be admired. But the second reason is it was an opportunity to not have to deal with our own division and not have to deal with the question of, well, the person who heads our government, we cannot possibly afford them the kind of, thank goodness we're not talking about the death of a president today, but we can't afford them the kind of, well, with respect, if you will, because of the division in the land. And if my theory has any validity at all, I regret it very much.
You know, Sam, it was interesting because almost all coverage yesterday focused in on her relationship with the presidents, going back to Harry Truman. I think the only president she did not meet with was Lyndon Johnson. And no matter the president, no matter the politics, from Trump to Biden to Clinton to Harry Truman, it was as if nobody disliked her. I think Biden referred to her as his mother, reminded him as his mother. Trump said she was a distinguished woman. They all had nice things to say about her. The coverage was very, very fluffy when it came to her, and I kind of wonder why that was. What's your opinion on that?
Well, again, I repeat myself to some extent. She was an admirable person. She was head of a great country, and was reflecting the greatness the country once had had. As I say, the sun never set on the British Empire. Not in her day, but when she met our presidents, and I was there on a couple of occasions when she met Ronald Reagan and others, but Reagan stands out with me, and I made a faux pas. I spoke to the Queen twice, as a matter of fact, but she never spoke back to me. The first time was the Reagans were visiting, and we had a photo opportunity, and Queen Elizabeth was there standing with the, and I said, as a reporter, Your Majesty. I ask a real tough question, you know, my style, all that. Your Majesty, is it good to be seeing once again your good friends, Mr. and Mrs. Reagan, President and Mrs. Reagan? No response. I learned later from a lot of the British people, I was on their big television show the next morning to explain myself, that the rule was you did not speak to the Queen until and unless she spoke to you first. Well, I'm sorry about that. Of course, that's one difference between our country and Britain when it comes to the monarchy. As I say, our forefathers, and I think I hope we, reject a monarch or a dictator or what have you. We have, and I hope we preserve it, we have a democratic system in which the people elect the government. So I was put down. I felt chagrined. I mean, I was a country bumpkin, you know, from New Mexico. How should I know that was the rule? The second time, the Queen and the President, Mr. Reagan, were at Balmoral Castle, and they were riding horses. And the press pool were assembled, and they would come to a certain spot and stand the horses and look at us. Well, we started peppering Mr. Reagan, the President, with questions that he started to answer. And I started to, having learned my lesson, I still said, I tried to devise a way to say, well, Mr. President, what, I'm sure you would want to know Her Majesty's view on this. But Her Majesty simply, once again, put her head up and turned her horse, and to President Reagan's a little surprise, I think, and maybe his own chagrin, she began to walk off the horse, and so he followed. That was my association with the Queen. She came to Washington once, and there was a garden party at the British Embassy, and she then spoke to people, and I didn't go up to her, but people I were with did, and she was just very courteous and very nice and all of that. They said to me later, why didn't you go and speak to the Queen? And I was still smarting under the fact that I didn't know the rule back then, so I devised this. I said, well, do you know, I'm from Scotland, and I was afraid I would not be diplomatic, and I'd go up and free Scotland, you tyrant. That wasn't true, of course.
You know, Sam, being around her, you've been around a lot of people, presidents, heads of state. Did she have a presence to her?
Yes, of course. First of all, the fact that she was the Queen of England, the monarch, Elizabeth II. And those of us who have a little bit of history remember Elizabeth I, although no one alive today ever met her. And to be in her presence was a very unique, I suppose, I'm not Roman Catholic, but I can imagine, particularly Roman Catholics, and I guess the rest of us too, if we're in President of His Holiness the Pope. It is not just another guy. She was not just another gal. I've been in presence of Hollywood stars and sports figures and all of that, and other great world statesmen, and haven't felt the same way as you would feel around the Queen of England. It's a unique position. I think there are kings in Africa, supposedly, and a couple of nations, but she's the last of the great monarchical houses that ruled the world, Europe particularly. So it's her very presence. And then it's the fact that she was who she was. You could imagine her if she had just been a kindly woman, a kindly grandmother toward the end of her life that people liked because she did good things. But you'd still like her, and you still want to see her. But if she were the Queen of England, you'd get a double.
Well, the only thing that borderlined on bad coverage when it came to the Queen was her relationship with Princess Diana. People felt, her country felt, that she did not respond quickly enough to Diana's death.
That's true. They were in Scotland at the time. She and her husband, Prince Philip, was alive, and Diana died. She lived at a time when you didn't divorce. You must understand that. You remember her great uncle left. He had become King of England. Edward had in the 30s, and he resigned the position because he wanted to marry a divorced American woman. Well, this hadn't happened then in the English history of the monarchy. And then suddenly in her family, fairly early on, in her children, Charles and Diana, and she was not happy about that. She was not happy about, I think she never really warmed up. And again, I'm not an expert on the royalty now, but what I read, she didn't ever warm up on Diana. And when divorce happened, and under all the circumstances, in any event, when Diana died, she did not consider it something of great state interest and importance. And she was aided and abetted, I understand, by her husband Philip, who was really a tough guy when it came to things like this. Well, the Prime Minister, Tony Blair, the young Prime Minister, was aware of what the country was feeling. The people of the country were feeling a terrible loss. They loved Diana. The great majority loved her, and her death was a blow to them. And the Queen was still not doing much in any way to show that she thought it was a loss. And Blair, in the most diplomatic, I'd love to have been an eavesdropper of their phone calls, persuaded her that she needed to come back to London, and she needed to participate as head of the country, if you will, in the loss of this young woman. And she did. And she did come back. See the movie, you know. I think it's a pretty accurate, from what I've been told, depiction of her regret that she had taken that early stance. As I said, she had ups and downs. I think that was probably one of her biggest downs. But as I said, her ups far exceeded those downs.
When we as Americans look back at this 70-year history of Queen Elizabeth II, how will we look at it, and how will England look at it?
Well, I think personally we look at it as a loss of a great person. But history will look at it as a woman who held the country together during most difficult times, the loss of the empire. But in fact, under her, not because of her, maybe even despite of her to some extent, the world was moving. I believe in Martin Luther King's great arc of history. It is moving toward freedom. Yes, it has ups and downs, too. And at the moment, in many countries, Hungary, I mean, I could go down the whole list, naturally Russia, China, you have the dictatorial system. But I believe freedom is the answer. Dictatorship, and certainly not for our country, is not the answer. And I think history will say she was the one who presided, if not the very last. Charles may continue, and on his death, the monarchy may still be intact in Britain, but if so, it'll be hanging by a thread.
The one and only Sam Donaldson. Sam, thank you so much for getting up early and joining us this morning to remember Queen Elizabeth II, who died yesterday at the age of 96. Thanks, Sam.
Pleasure, Scott. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Well, that's an interesting way to start off the morning. Boy, I tell you, you could not get away from the coverage yesterday when it came to the death of Queen Elizabeth. I mean, my goodness gracious, from the time that her illness was really taken seriously by American television, it just kind of went on and on and on. And maybe that's how it should have been now that we look back on the events of yesterday. All right, well, I think we're going to have another call coming in here momentarily. 31 and a half minutes past the hour on this Getaway Friday. Friday, September the 9th, 2022. But, yeah, the coverage was really kind of amazing. As I said there with Sam, 3 hours last night of ABC Network, not a cable channel, ABC Network News was devoted to the Queen of England and her death. And here in America, that's quite an interesting thing, because I can't remember the last time that we devoted that much time to the death of a president. So the fact that we did that for the Queen of England, I think, is very, very unique. I would have guessed that her death is a big story, but I did not know it would be that big a story. Let's see here, and as we continue on this morning, we certainly thank legendary ABC News correspondent Sam Donaldson for joining us for the first 15 minutes this morning to talk about what everybody else is talking about here this morning, the death of the Queen of England at the age of 96 yesterday. But we're going to switch gears because we have one of my favorite people on who is always doing something. He is on the internet. He is doing shows around the country. He stays busy. One of the greatest talk show guests of all time. As I always say, Johnny Carson loved him. David Letterman loved him. Anybody's show that he was ever on, enjoyed having this man as a guest. I enjoy having him as a guest. He is the legendary mentalist, world famous, the amazing Kreskin. Kreskin, how are you?
I am great. I'm great. Did you say that Sam Donaldson has been on to discuss the loss of the Queen, right?
Yes, he kicked us off this morning.
It was a very moving salute, and I just think that's absolutely wonderful. I'm so glad. And, so you've already discussed it, have you?
We have. I'm just interested, Kreskin. Were you surprised at the coverage that it got here in America, the death of the Queen of England?
I guess I was surprised, but I was kind of overwhelmed by it because it was very moving, and the commentary was very touching, and I just felt, because I spent a lot of time going back and forth to England through the years, you know, and I love the British people, I really do. It's a different world right now, as you well know, and a lot has changed. I'm sure you discussed all the changes taking place, but she was very loyal. Can you hear me clearly, by the way?
I can hear you perfectly.
Yeah, I want to make sure. But she was constant, had a persona and a beauty, and I just think it very deep. I really get choked up when I talk about the person, but we don't have many images like that of world leaders or special people these days, you know, Scott.
You know, Kreskin, the other question I wanted to ask you about the Queen, because it's hard to not talk about it this morning. When we look at the world, the entire world, we have leaders, we have heads of state, we have dictators, we have presidents. The Queen was very special in a way. She doesn't have any power expressed to her as a prime minister or a president would, but as maybe the most famous woman in the world, I think she's the most photographed woman in the world, being on the money in England.
I do too, because she was in almost every scene when there were special announcements or meetings or what have you. Even if she didn't speak, she was in the background. So you're absolutely right. She was part of the picture that we had. And you don't have that in other situations. You really don't in other parts of the world.
No, and being around for 70 years, what do you think her place will be being in the picture for 70 years?
What do I think her what will be?
Her place will be in history.
Oh, I hope that it will be a major reference from time to time as one of the movingly trusted leaders that we had for so many, many years, because you got to recall when I was a kid, she was queen. She's been queen all my life. I mean, I would recognize her in a crowd with almost in almost seconds because we knew her. And the irony of it is, and you hinted at this, we didn't really hear her speak that much, Scott. We really did not. You know what I mean?
That's right. Maybe a little bit at Christmas, every so often she might say something, but really never had an opinion on things.
But her image was still there. And when you thought of England and the British people, her image came into view. Not the husband, not anyone else, but her image came into view. That impressed me as I saw all the salutes and commentaries and how people felt about her. I got emails in the mail. I'm telling you honestly, I won't mention the names of the people. Some very famous people wrote images and said they were sobbing or breaking down because they lost someone they felt very special about. And these are people that did not know this person. but this is the way they felt. I thought that was an incredible response that I got. I never got that before from people sending me an email saying that they were very deeply saddened by the loss of the Queen.
Absolutely, and I think one other thing to point out is in all of our coverage here in America yesterday, I did not see any negative coverage. A lot of times,
no, I didn't. Yeah, I didn't that either. There was none at all. I don't want to say any reaction right now, but I would have been very upset about such a thing. No, I did not see any negative coverage at all. At least her aura and her image and her feeling extended to all areas, it seems like. The pictures of her will always be in my mind. And of course, usually when we saw pictures of her, she was wearing some kind of a hat, wasn't she? That she always wore a hat of kinds.
she was a snappy dresser, that's for sure.
She sure was. She sure was. And by the way, I'm glad you alluded to her and we devoted some thought to her, because you're one of my favorite personalities. I'm looking at a picture of you, and folks, I look at this picture of this character who's sitting obviously in a studio with a microphone, sitting on a table. He's got one hand cocked up, his elbow on the table. And that is a man that you folks know about. His name is Scott Spears. Oh, I always enjoy your company, Scott. I hope before long that I'm somewhere in the Marion, Ohio area, so I will be appearing. You know, it would be a pleasure to see you again. I have to. Can I share an anecdote that came to me just yesterday? I was being interviewed, and someone mentioned because there were three officials involved in the situation, because they said, "Kreskin, you've always done these dramatic searches." Picture this image, because I've tried to, on my webpage and the new podcast and what have you, relate dramatic things that have happened through the years. This happened years ago, but I was appearing in an area, I'm not going to mention where at this moment, deliberately not mention where, and they decided, "Kreskin, would you like to do a unique search?" I said, "Yes, I would." They handed me an envelope. And Scott, folks can picture it. It was just a small, blank envelope. There was no name on it. There was no address on it. It was sealed, but there was a name inside the envelope. I met three people. One was the mayor of the city, and the other was a police chief, and the other was a fire chief. And there was a car at my disposal. I was only allowed to speak to the driver. I got in the car. The three of them sat in the back, and they told the driver where to drive, because I was to deliver this unaddressed envelope to a person that they were thinking about. Well, we finally came into this town, and we're walking through the town. It's a crowded town, and I come up to this building, which has a lot of people shopping in and out of it, and I guess it was a business-type building, but I walk inside. It was uncomfortably walking inside because the place was very crowded, and I sifted through people just to put my hand on their shoulder, saying, you know, I need to walk through here, and finally came up to a woman, dark-haired. I did not know her. I never met her in my life. And I said, "You know, ma'am, I think I should hand this to you." It turns out, when she opened it, her name was in it. And she was one of the possible people I could have delivered it to, because the amount of people it could have been delivered to was over, and hers was the one name. It was 100,000 people, because she was a person I found in the entire city of Santa Barbara, California. Can you imagine that, Scott?
That's an amazing story. How does something like that happen, Kreskin?
You know, people are asking me, since the story just came up again recently and was talked about and what have you, I can't explain. The one thing that I'm glad that they did not say to me is that there's a 100,000 possibilities. But they said that at the end because they said it could have been anybody. Because this was anybody. I don't mean this was a negative person, but this was a human being they found in the city, and I delivered it to them. I cannot think of the awesomeness of that kind of challenge. I have to just get my mind on the issue at heart, is finding the images that are coming to me, because I had to tell the driver, I couldn't tell him what streets to drive down. I had to tell him when to turn, and when to turn right, and when to turn left, because that's the way a driver thinks. They don't think in terms of, you know, Ames Street and what have you. I'm being interviewed more now because a story came up, but it's one of the dramatic moments of my life. My life, Scott, you know, and I know you'll agree with me, my life has been, I have to tell you, an adventure. It really has been an adventure. And the adventures have not stopped in any way, shape, or form. Things keep coming up, and I love my work, and I've been very, very blessed. And that's all I can say about that. However, don't get any crazy ideas, Scott, of picking some state in Europe, because you want me to come back. You don't want me in jail, or they'll say this character, you know, there may be something evil about his abilities. I love to kid myself. I said this to you in the last time we spoke a few weeks ago, but if we can't laugh and chuckle at ourselves. Oh, I got to tell you something. I want to tell you something that moved me very, very deeply, and we haven't spoken since this took place. Folks, you can see this. You can see this picture if you go to my website. Go to www.amazingkreskin.com. I think I mentioned to you I was appearing at this glass factory in Pennsylvania, and they devoted the whole day to me. The owner, who's a multimillionaire, said to me, he says, I want to set the day aside. The day will start at 9 in the morning. That's when the glass factory opens, and it was a giant one, a beautiful place. And it will end at 6 o'clock because the day will be a salute to you, and people will come to see you. Kreskin, make sure you bring 100 books, because you'll be selling and signing books through the whole day. So anyway, that is what the occasion was, and I was there for the entire day, and I met people from all walks of life who just came up to me out of nowhere. So don't you know, the next day I get a call from the owner of this glass factory in Pennsylvania. He says, Kreskin, there was a gentleman there who was nationally known. You wouldn't know him, but all of us in the glass industry are very much aware of him. And he was making an item for you. It took him almost the entire day to do it. And I said, gee, I wish he could have just come over to me. They said he wanted to, but because you were being visited by so many people, he felt it would intrude upon him, about you. And he said, he's left here because he's from another part of the country, but he intends to move to this part of the country. His name is Scott Pernica, and Scott, what he gave me was a glass sphere. I don't have to mention something like this, but the sale of the sphere would have been over $1,000, and he designed the interior of it with all kind of through electronic movement. And when you look inside, you see stars and everything else moving, and it's the size of only a large marble. What an incredible gift I have, I want to tell you.
Unbelievable. And when things happen like that, when you see love and admiration like that, how does it make you feel?
I get very inwardly choked up. And, you know, I jog every day. I told the street the last time, I jog about 20 minutes every night. I'm 87 years old, but I haven't stopped working and haven't stopped being active. In fact, this morning I went to bed at 5:30 this morning because I'm working on a project I'm going to tell you about in a few. I can't wait when I can announce it to you. But I'm very deeply moved. I'm very excited. I go out. You know, when I run, by the way, when I run, I want to tell you folks this, and hear me when I said this to you before. I don't wear and listen to music and so forth. I don't do that because I'm an active, physically active person, and I listen to my own inner thoughts and I listen to my unconscious mind, because some of the best ideas I've ever gotten in my life is when I was jogging. So sometimes, folks, sometimes find a way of listening to yourself. In fact, you might do this. I've given you this as a tip to friends of mine and people who work for me and what have you. Sometime at night, if you're just curious how you might think of a thing, write down one word or two words on a piece of paper and put it face down on the bed next to you and go to bed, and that's it. And in the morning, when you wake up, if you think about it, pick up the note and just sit there for 3 or 4 minutes and see what comes into your mind. Because sometimes you're sending an image that will go into your unconscious mind through the night, may cause you the next day to get insight into what was worrying you or what you were curious about and what have you. Learn once in a while to tune in. And some people I know now do this frequently. Very, very, they said, Kreskin, it was one of the best tips we've ever been given, because now I don't waste time just playing games with myself. I see if I can send messages and what the answers are that are coming up. That's all I can tell you folks about that. I get a kick out of it. And when you get a chance, folks, go on the internet and look at this picture. It's yours truly. It's holding this glass sphere and that was given to me from Scott Pernica, whose name I never heard about. But boy, I will never forget that name as long as I lived. By the way, I did something, and when you wonder how I think, because you're asking me about some, bring out some personal things. I did something I have not done, I swear to God, in the past 30 years, 35 years. I've lived in the town, or moved maybe 8 minutes out of it, but lived in a town that I've lived in my entire life. I'm 87 years old, and there's a park in that town. It's called Grover Cleveland Park, and I had not visited it for 25, 30 years. We drove over with my road manager, and I just quietly walked through this large, large park where in the wintertime and when ice skating, in the summertime I hiked through, I played with friends and what have you. And I want to tell you something, Scott, and you got to do this with yourself once in a while. If you pick an area that was part of your childhood that you hadn't been to, take a stroll through it. It's incredible, the memories that just swept before me. I felt very deeply moved and was almost in tears because of the times that I had there. And I will not wait another 25 years to go there. I'll probably visit there in the next few months, Scott. But if you don't hear from me and there's any search that they can't find me, call the police and send them a look at Grover Cleveland Park.
Send them over there. That's where you'll be.
Send them over there, because unless I got a picture of Scott and I'm thinking about him, and I got, by the way, I'm talking to you. Well, I have that picture that you send out of yourself sitting at this table with your elbow on the table. Your other hand is off the table. I can't see what's on. And there's the microphone sitting in front of you. How many years, Scott, have you been in broadcasting?
Just about 20.
Wow. Can I ask you, Scott, because I've never, how did you come to go into broadcasting? Because it's such a major part of your life. How did it come about, Scott?
You know, it's a long story, but I'll shrink it up because it's an interesting story, I think. I went to college to be a teacher, and I got my bachelor's.
To teach a certain subject or just teaching in general?
English. And I went to college, and I got a degree, and I started teaching in the schools. And one day, I was just not particularly, I love teachers and what they do, but I was not particularly at that time thrilled with what was going on in the schools. And I was in the cafeteria one day having lunch, and there was a newspaper article about journalism. Get a get a job at the local newspaper to be a journalist. So I called up the newspaper, but you needed to have either experience or a journalism background, and I did not have, or a journalism degree, and I did not have either one of those things.
Right.
So I called the college because I had just left there the year before, and I said, what would I need to be able to get a journalism degree? And they said, well, since you already have a degree, why don't you go do an internship somewhere and see if you like that? And if you do like it, then we'll get you in some journalism classes. So I called the radio station. I called the newspaper. The radio station called back first. They said, come on in. I came on in. First day I did filing, things like that, you know, this and that. The second day, somebody did not show up to cover the county commissioners. They sent me down there. I covered them. Long story short, at the end...
You covered it on the radio?
Covered it on the radio. Never had been on the radio.
Wow.
Never had been to a county commissioner meeting. And so I did that. They left me do that for the next 10 weeks. I picked up city council, did some interviews. And at the end of the 10 weeks, when they came in to sign off on my internship, they said, when can you start? And that's how it started.
You have got to be kidding. And the way it happened is it was such a subtle way. We know this, and you understand this, and you know it. In my case, I always try to tap to people that I meet for the first time in a certain way, because you can only meet a person the first time in your life once. And keep that in mind, folks. I say this to kids. I say this to people from all walks of life. You can only meet them once, because in many respects, that may be the most lingering memory they have of you. You understand what I'm saying, Scott?
I do.
And that to me is such a success story. I mean, who would have ever thought, Scott, that... I told a story last time in grade school when Miss Curtis said it was raining outside, so I'm going to send you James Hamilton. You go in the hallway because you don't know. We want you to know what's going on. So she went in the hallway. That's when we hit a beanbag somewhere in the classroom and someone's desk, because we all had desks. And we brought her back in. She walked around, and Miss Curtis said, "We'll say if you're getting close to it, you're getting warm. If you're not close to it, you're cold." And hot and cold. And then when she was real near, we scrammed. You're near. Who would have ever thought that this, which obsessed me, because I had a blessing as a kid from kindergarten to the last day in high school. I never was driven to school. I walked to school, and I'm glad. Because it took maybe a half an hour. It rained sometime. It snowed sometime. But I met people in parts of the world, Scandinavian countries. They say, "Kreskin, we go out and play in the snow. That's part of our life." So the walking was a great source of community, as I met people along the way that joined me. And we ended up having a team. We're going to school, and the last years was like 15 of us going to school, because we all had something to say. But I tell you, Scott, that your experience, your and 20 years. Now you're on the air how long each day?
About three hours.
Jesus, that is so. And I love the way you say it casually. But look at how the opportunity to take advantage of certain scenarios, the death of the Queen, and other things that take place, and probably crazy incidents that happen, and what have you. And do you take calls? You do take phone calls from time to time, do you, Scott?
I do. That's one of my favorite parts.
Is it?
Yeah, I love talking to people.
I do, too. I love to find out what's on their mind, and I love it when they have questions and what have you, because some of the questions come out of nowhere, and they listen because they're interested in what you have to say and the experience, or how the experience happened. Or a question, we haven't seen you, talked to you for 3 or 4 months. Is there anything crazy that happened that you wonder about? And I always have something to say, because my mind is an adventure. And you know, Scott, I'm not home most of the time, as you know. I'm traveling, so I'm in different cities all the time. And today, these days, by the way, and you know this, and I don't mean this in a negative situation, but flying is not the most delightful thing to look forward to on the face of the earth, because I've met people who told me they were stuck in the airport for 6 hours, and the plane never took off and what have you. Fortunately, that doesn't happen. My people have been very cautious and what have you. But again, life goes on, and you somehow you work with it and make sure you take advantage of what takes place. That's what I love to do, to take advantage. I think of the years that I traveled when I could, and you can't do it today, but for years, Scott, I sat in the cockpit in major airlines with the pilots because they wanted to talk to me, and I became a regular. They tell me anecdotes that took place. They told me situations that seemed like UFOs and what have you. I remember Arthur Godfrey telling me, because he finally talked about it on the air, he says, Gresham, there's something out there, because I've been allowed as a broadcaster and one of the legendary broadcasters in history, one of my heroes in history, he said, I've been allowed to fly almost any plane in existence. He says, so help me God, and he used language that I can't use right now. He says, I have flown and had planes fly next to me that I never saw in my life, and I wonder where in God's name they came from. It makes you wonder now that the government is investigating UFOs, Scott.
Absolutely. Kristen, we've only got about a minute left. What were you up till 5:30 last night thinking about?
I'm going to release a new item which is dealing with numbers, and you're going to be amongst the first people I will announce it on. That's all I'm going to say, Scott. And folks, think about it. Don't worry about it. I'm not giving out any lottery numbers because what would Scott do if he won $1 million? No, don't say it. It's nothing to do with that. But Scott, all I can tell you is, and I've learned this in working with you and what have you, I don't say goodbye anymore because I've learned that the meaning of the word goodbye, that's finally kind of sealing things. I say in the spirit of broadcasting, to be continued, and I love to look at it that way.
Absolutely. The one and only amazing Kreskin. Kreskin, stay well, and we'll talk soon.
Godspeed. Thank you.
Well, how about that? Opening hour, Sam Donaldson and the amazing Kreskin. You can't go wrong there. We're going to take a break here in about 40 seconds. The Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker comes up at 9:15 this morning till 10 a.m. Then I'll be back at 10:15 through 1 o'clock this afternoon. All kinds of programming here on WGH Talk. Remember, you can get us live on the internet, WWGH1071.com, streaming live. Or you can download the free TuneIn app on any mobile device, absolutely free, and search WWGH. That's your smart TV, your Alexa, your Google Dot, whatever you have. Just download that app, and you can listen to us anywhere in the world, and I know people do, and I appreciate them for that. We're going to break. Be back in about 15 minutes.
You're listening to WWGH Radio, LPFM, Marion, Ohio, 107.1 FM.